Okay. Dzień dobry, which means good morning in Polish. Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 27. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maya. Well, what a morning that we've had. This is going to be a slightly shorter sermon than we normally have because we've had so many great things going on, but hopefully it will be short and also sweet for you. So just a short sermon from Acts chapter 17, 26 and 27. The sermon is entitled Go and Tell, and it fits with, as you listen to those verses, it fits with the theme of our worship service today about global missions. And I want to let you know in advance how I would like for you to be challenged by this sermon. I would like to let you know my purpose in preaching this sermon. So all the children, you have a really cool children's program with pictures of our missionaries on there, some exercises in there. It's fantastic, and you can use that. And I want to let all the children know what I'm hoping you will get out of this sermon. As you grow up in life, you have a lot of heroes. You have a lot of sports heroes from the sports world that you like, football teams and baseball teams. You have comic book and movie heroes that you look up to. You have heroes like your dad, your mom. You've got heroes that you look up to. What I would like for you to take away from this sermon today is that missionaries can be our new heroes, people that cross borders and bring the gospel like Colin and Zuri Jennings are going to do. I would like for you to think of, for the rest of your life, to thank God for people that are missionaries that bring the gospel to other people. So that's what I would like for you to get from this. For those of you that are middle school and high school students, I want to say a word to you as well. We're glad that you're here. You guys are an amazing age because you are the generation that will change the world. And I want you to think about the fact that what the hope of the world is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a middle school or a high school student, I hope that over the next 5 and 10 years, or a college student, to think about your life going sometime on a mission trip to another part of the world, because if you go, that'll change your life. We've had students in this church go on trips, and it's very, very life-changing. And I would like for you to go away from here thinking about that. Now, for all of you adults, I want to let you know what I'm hoping you will get out of this sermon. And I refer to Bart Johnson, who is one of our elders. If you were to talk to Bart Johnson and ask him this question, Bart, tell me about the conversions that have happened in your life. Bart can tell you of at least 3 conversions in his life. His first conversion is when he came to believe that Jesus Christ was his Savior and he put his faith in Jesus Christ. That was, I think, your first conversion, Bart. What happened was that Bart saw Jesus and himself in an entirely new light that he didn't realize before, and he believed in Jesus, he repented of his sins, and it changed his life. That was Bart's first conversion, but he's had a couple of other conversions since then. One of the conversions that Bart will tell you about is he was converted to global missions. There was a time in Bart's life where he didn't really understand. He didn't have a vision. He didn't see the world the way God did. But then one day, God got a hold of Bart's heart, and Bart would say he was converted to global missions. And so now, everything that Bart can do is to serve the cause of Christ. He's not himself going overseas, but he has a heart. He has a mindset. He thinks about it because God, as John Stott says, because we serve a global God, we need to be global Christians. And so Bart was converted to global missions. So all of you adults, I want to let you know that my aim for you is that you would see the world around you in a new light, in a biblical light, and that today you will mark this date down, September 29th, 2019, that you were converted to global missions. I want you to have a conversion this morning to global missions, and I want you to think about that today. I want to begin with this, with one story that is going to capture what these two verses are about. There, I want to introduce you to a woman by the name of Lima, who was raised in a small country, a small mountainous country called Afghanistan. When she was just a brand new teenager, because of the civil war in Afghanistan, Lima and her family had to flee their country, and they had to go to Europe as immigrants. They landed in the nation of Germany and in the city of Munich. And little did they know that in the city of Munich, which is known for Oktoberfest and great beer and great beauty, they're in Bavaria and a wonderful soccer team. In addition to all of that, God has arranged a church in that city called Munich International Community Church, which is an international church that reaches out. There are some 50 to 60 countries represented in that church, and they reach out to German nationals and to business people that live there, but also to refugees and immigrants. And so I remember hearing the story when this family from Afghanistan was welcomed to Munich by this church, by this gathering of believers. And there was a girl in that family who at the age of 15 came to understand who Jesus was. And she believed the gospel, and it changed her life forever. Molly and I met Lima when she was 15 and when she was baptized. So I want you to see a picture up there on the screens. This is Lima at the age of 15, who is a refugee, an immigrant from Afghanistan, who came to Munich, eventually heard the gospel and believed in Jesus Christ. And this was when she was baptized, after she came to faith. You know, that passage of scripture that we read just a moment ago, I want you to think about that passage again. That passage, I want to read a couple of verses again from that passage, and I want you to think about, do you hear Lima's story in this passage? It says in Acts 17, from one man, he made all the nations. We have a global God. God made all the nations from one man, from Adam. And I want you to think about that for a second, because since everyone came from one man, there should be no superiority between nations and cultures and ethnic groups, that all are made in the image of God, and they all matter to God. It says here, from one man, he made all the nations. God embraced the whole world. He made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. What that passage says about Lima is that though a war caused her family to flee Afghanistan, and though her parents had to make the hard decision to bring all their children to leave their homeland and to move to Germany, that behind that, God was doing something good. It says in this passage that God determines where people inhabit, where they live all over the world. And then it goes on to say, the second thing in this passage is that they did this so that people would seek God. And that's what happened to Lima. She not only was moved there, God was behind that move, but God did that so that she would seek God. So I want to comment. I have 2 points in my outline this morning. I want you to remember these two things. And for those of you that are thinking about that conversion to global missions, I want these two verses to be a new lens through which you view the world. A lot of you view the world through the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Economist magazine, your travels around the world. But I want to give you a new lens from Acts 17. This was a brief sermon given by Paul in a real place in Athens, Greece, in the first century. You can go to Mars Hill where he gave this sermon. These two verses are just excerpts from that sermon. Paul himself was a missionary to them, and he was explaining, he was introducing God to them. But 2 points from this passage, these 2 verses. The first point I want to make is that God has planned where people live. God has planned where people live. That happened in the case of Lima. It happened in my life as well. When I was growing up, when I was the age of all of you children that were sitting up here, my family moved every 3 to 5 years. And sometimes that move was hard because you would leave a familiar place and you would go to an unfamiliar place. I remember when I was 10 years old, my family moved from Dallas, Texas to Frankfurt, Germany, and we lived there for 3 years. That was a very exciting move. That was very happy for my parents. We had a lot of adventures when we lived in another part of the world. But then after that, we moved to California. And then when I was a teenager, my dad took a job in Washington, D.C., and we had to move from Southern California to Alexandria, Virginia. And I remember that move being so difficult for me. I had made a lot of friends there, and every time I moved, I was the new guy in the lunchroom, the new guy in school. That was really hard for me. But we made that move from California to Alexandria. Now, get this. I had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. So when we moved there, it seemed like it was my parents' decision, but behind it was God, because it was while I was in high school that I first was introduced to the gospel. And this passage says that God was behind that move, and also the purpose of the move was so that I would seek God. And God worked in my heart, brought the gospel to me, and that totally changed my life. You know, when we planted Lake Baldwin Church, and I appreciate Reed Shiflett's question about why we became a pastor, because Molly and I had to ask the question, why would we plant a church in Baldwin Park? Well, in the early 2000s, this community around you, this had been a naval training center before it was rezoned, and there were 12 to 14,000 people that were going to move in this area. All those people, you look around at the houses here, it's like that movie, The Truman Show. It looks all great on the outside, but we knew there would be people with broken lives, people with needs, people who had just moved. And all these people in Baldwin Park think that they chose to move here, which they did, but God had another plan for them because God chooses where people live. We have people at UCF right now who study at UCF from all over the world, and those are people that chose to come and study in the States. But what if God was the one who planned that they would come here so that they would seek Him? I've met those international students from all over the world. They're wonderful, wonderful people. Not only does God bring people here and God plans all that, but Colin and Zuri Jennings are now going to Senegal. And God is behind that move. God has called Colin and Zuri to go there, and God is going to orchestrate all the people that they meet so that those people could seek God, and all of our missionaries around the world who have done that. One more thing to mention. That neighborhood that you live in right now, that neighborhood, kids, that your mom and dad moved you there, and they bought a house, and that's where you live, God planned that move. The people that live next door to you, the people that live across the street from you, God placed you there. God is overall in charge of where people live, and that's the first thing we want to see from this passage. God has planned where people live. But the second thing that we see in this passage is, why did God do that? What is God's plan? We say that God has a plan for where people live, but what is that plan? And we learn in Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, I want to read this verse to you one more time. It says, God did this so that men or people would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him. What's going on is that God orchestrates these moves, just like Lima, just like my family moving to Virginia, just like all of you moving here and people in this community and people in this city. God does it so that people would seek Him. And if you look at that passage, the way it's written, some of the translation says that people, when they're seeking God, they are groping for God. And it reminds me of an old game called Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Now, a lot of you kids, I don't know if you've, You've probably whacked a pinata before where you were blindfolded and you had to try to find it. Pin the tail on the donkey is where somebody draws a big donkey, puts it on a sheet on the wall, but the tail is off. And you are given that tail, but then you are blindfolded. So you get a blindfold that is put on you like this, and you can't see, and you're supposed to take that, and you're supposed to pin the tail on the donkey. I'm going to start walking towards you right now. No, I'm not going to do that. You pin the tail on the donkey, but you cannot see where you're doing it. And so the image that the Bible has of people who, before they find Christ, are people who are it's like they can see with their eyes, but spiritually they are blind. They're not able to see the light of the gospel. But the Bible teaches that when somebody hears the gospel, this blinder is removed. That's what happened to Bart Johnson at his first conversion. The blinder was removed, and he saw Jesus in a totally new light, and he saw himself in a new light, and he knew he needed a Savior. Those of you here this morning that have not yet put your faith in Christ, one of the reasons that's a challenge for you is because there's a part of you that wants to resist that message in your heart, and there's a part of you that can't see. So the power of the gospel is such that when you hear the gospel preached, the Holy Spirit uses that to take the blinders off and to open our eyes so that we might see the gospel. So that's what, and see Jesus, that's what the gospel does for us. You know, good news for the world, as Joe said earlier, is hardwired into the vision of this church. One of the things that we do, and from the beginning, we have a global missions team. All the tithes and offerings that are brought in, we earmark a percentage for local missions, for church planting, for congregational care, and for global missions. So you all are part of this effort of supporting these missionaries who want to go and tell. The missionaries that we support that you've heard about this morning and that are pictured on the sort of the programs that the kids have there, and I'd love for you parents to take those and talk those over, talk about that with your kids. But this idea of preaching the gospel and moving there and presenting the gospel so that people can see, that's what's happening in La Paz, Mexico. So you saw our missionaries in La Paz that we support with that new church plant. In London, where the Myers are there, Dwayne Noble and John Hill were part of a mission trip last July, and there will be another mission trip this year. And you should talk with them about what that was like, because they were involved in presenting the gospel. And as I said, there are people groups from South Asia that have moved to London. God's the one who's behind that move. So the reason that church exists, the reason that's the hope of those people, is God brought them to London so that they could hear the gospel. In fact, many of them will have a greater chance of hearing the gospel in London than they would have in their homeland. The Jean Rejouis, Davidson Jean Rejouis is from Haiti. That's why he's got that French name. He married Katie, and then now they live in Toulouse, and they're involved in a church planting effort there. They're presenting the gospel. The Bowles, John and Julie Bowles in Bangkok, Thailand, they are going and telling so that the blinders can be lifted. And on and on to West Africa, where Colin and Zuri Jennings are going. The reason that they're going, and Colin, where are you? There you are. Colin, in a way, this sermon is your charge as well for your ordination. And I would urge you to not let anything keep you from preaching the gospel, because all around you and Zuri are people that God brought there for you to meet. And we're so excited for you to be a part of that. It's our vision to, as a church, partner with the global church to bring the gospel to the nations. We do want you to come to those shepherding dinners, whichever ones you want to go to. Even if you can't make it the week that your elder's doing it, just sign up for another elder and go to their house. We want you to meet our missionaries. We want you to be a part of this effort. It is so, so worth it. Just to wrap it up, last July, Molly and I had the joy, while on sabbatical, of worshiping in different churches. And one of the churches that we worked at was Munich International Community Church. Our church partners with international churches all over Europe. Our vision is to have one of these churches in the top 100 cities of Europe. And we're so excited about that. But this one church, it's about the same size as Lake Baldwin Church. As I said, 50 to 60 nations. That's where Lima and her family heard the gospel. That's where she was baptized. Well, Molly and I were there last July, and after the worship service, a young lady came up to greet us. And she said, "Do you remember me? I'm Lima." She was the one who had been baptized 5 years before. Now she's 20 years old. There's the picture of her. Now she's 20 years old. She has a job in Munich, and she's involved in that church. But remember, God was the one who brought her there. God was the one who met her when she was seeking him. And I bet that Lima, if you were to talk to her today, in fact, I think that John and Amy Heidman and their three children are worshiping there today, like maybe even right now. And they're going to be in the same congregation if they're there with Lima. But if you could talk to Lima today about what God did in her life, she would be so glad that there were people waiting for her who cared for her and who presented the gospel to her, people that were ready to go and tell. Would you pray with me? Lord, it's so exciting that we, as a relatively small church with children and all age groups, that we can have a part in such epic work, such exciting work. We can be a part of your larger story, a story that began so long ago and that continues to this day. Would you enable, Lord, each one of us to see ourselves as part of your larger story today? We thank you that you are the one seeking people, drawing people to yourself. And we thank you for your word, for changed lives like Lima, and we pray for more of those. And we pray these prayers together in Jesus' name. Amen.